Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the From the Nosebleeds podcast on Valentine's Day. Thomas Parkinick joined by Thomas Coburn in studio. And producer Paulo Gismondi, as always, back with a mic this week.
Hello everyone, I'm back.
We gave him his privileges back. Before we get into the show, special shout out to the 30 for 30 series that's currently being filmed of our podcast today. So a big shout out to these guys.
So not one camera, but two camera crews.
Yeah, two camera crews in the studio today. So big shout out to these guys for making this happen. And we'll be sure to share their final product.
As long as it's good enough.
No, it'll be good. I'm confident. We got the best man. We got Martin Scorsese in here.
There he is.
So yeah, Valentine's Day.
But first, it's episode 11.
Oh, yes. You have to do your... who is it?
It's the Larry Fitzgerald episode.
Okay, not bad.
Legend.
Golfer.
Kind of overrated, though. He just plays a long time, you know what I mean?
You think he's one of those guys? You think he's like a Frank Gore type player? Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, no. Now he is.
Now, okay, obviously, he's not producing like he was, but I still think Larry Fitzgerald is one of the best receivers ever. Anyway, to start off the show today, like I said, it is Valentine's Day. You see I'm wearing red. Very nice touch.
I got red on my shirt.
No, you don't count. what I want to do for Thanksgiving, we did a food draft. For Christmas, we had absolute zero episodes, so I don't know why I said that. For the Super Bowl, we did another food draft. So for Valentine's Day, what I was thinking is...
Another food draft.
No, but I got you there. I was thinking we could do the best bromances or romances... Currently in the, not even currently, just in the NFL.
Wait, so like real romances are allowed?
If you'd like, but you can get as creative with you want with this. We can even ask Paulo to chime in if he wants, but I think he should rest those vocal cords because I'm going to get to him in the segment after this. But yeah, I think you can be as creative with it as you please.
All right. You want me to go first,
I guess? You can go first.
Yeah. All right. The best, this is not a bromance, it's a romance. The best romance in football. Odell Beckham Jr. and the spotlight.
Just him in the spotlight. In general. It's all
everywhere.
About him.
It's always him. It's always about him. He's always got to be in the spotlight. You know, national championship game. How can I make it about myself?
Slapping cops on the rear.
The rear.
The rear.
The rear.
The rear.
Oh, French. Nice. For Valentine's Day. Wow. Very nice.
Gets the mic back and he's bilingual.
Bilingual, okay.
Did I not say that right?
I like that one. I say bilingual. Not bilingual.
I think it's bilingual.
No.
Put a poll up.
I think you're wrong.
All right, maybe I am.
That is a pretty good one to get us started. Odell Beckham Jr. in the spotlight, because I think he's a guy who, whether he wants to admit it or not, is just me. I'm gonna top you here with this one. And again, I'm going to not do a real relationship. I'm going to say Jameis Winston. And I'm really torn. Okay, this is like he's cheating because he's got one relationship with his squinting and one relationship with just Jameis Winston and interceptions. But recently, this guy just got laser eye surgery.
Maybe it's Jameis Winston and the eye doctor.
Maybe. This guy just got laser eye surgery. So his vision's corrected next year. Last week on the show, you said the Bucs were going to the Super Bowl this year. I think
that's
Jameis,
looking up.
I think Jameis is throwing 7,000 yards, 70 touchdowns minimum next season.
He's gonna break all the records.
Yeah, with that eye surgery. All right, we'll do a few more of these.
Another bromance?
It could be whatever you want. I got one locked and loaded in the bag, so I'm really hoping you don't take it.
Okay, I'm gonna go Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson.
Okay, that's a classic.
It's actually not a classic.
It will be. When they win the Super Bowl, and that's all he says is big trust.
I think it's the best press conference duo right now.
A lot of people were like, they just had enough of Mark Ingram. But I love, like, I could watch those on repeat. I don't know, I'm a big fan.
I enjoy Mark Ingram.
I got Jimmy G and Aaron Andrews.
Oh, that's a real romance.
I don't think you can top that. That's the best.
That's number one.
That is number one romance in the NFL.
Rivaled by only Andy Reid and cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that is another. Andy Reid, and what did he say? When Andy Reid won the Super Bowl, he said, "I didn't spend the night with the trophy. I spent it with my trophy wife."
Yeah.
So I think that's a perfect quote we can use to wrap up our Valentine's Day bromance. So with that, Paulo, you're on the clock. First pick in the Valentine's Day food draft. Who are you taking?
chocolates.
Okay, there you go.
Drafts flowers.
Drafts over. No more Valentine's Day foods. Let's get into the XFL, which made its grand debut last week. I know you're
not a fan.
You're not a fan. I'm loving it, and I know Paulo is too.
Oh yeah, go Vipers.
He's a massive Tampa Bay Vipers fan. Why'd you pick them again? Just because of their uniforms?
They got nice colors.
Yeah, and now they're the worst team.
Oh yeah,
they're the worst team in the XFL.
Our QB's hurt.
Your QB, and actually,
who's the QB? You don't even know, dude.
Aaron Murray. Oh. He's not very good, but he's hurt.
This guy came locked and loaded, bag loaded for episode 11. Well done. We actually have a bit of a rivalry going on this week, no?
Yep. Because Derby week.
Your Tampa Bay Vipers are facing off against my Seattle Dragons. And me and you have just been going back and forth on Twitter.
Yeah, the battle for last place.
I'm really excited for this game. I think it's going to be probably the only game I watch all year. We'll see. I'm actually enjoying, maybe just because it's currently trending, but I'm enjoying following the Seattle Dragons. Fun fact about them, actually. Average attendance last week for all the XFL teams was 17,000. And right now, Seattle Dragons projected to fill 30,000 this week.
They're loving it.
So don't say there's no audience for this XFL.
But there's no audience.
Because I'm telling you. No, it's... Honestly, last week, we were ripping into the XFL on the podcast, but I was... All jokes aside, I was pretty impressed by week one. I like the rule changes.
But football is bad.
A lot of people were... Yeah, but if you watch college football, it's not that great either. Certain college games... Like, college football is more popular than the NFL in the United States.
Yeah.
That is a fact. But there's no denying that it's an inferior game. So, the XFL, no one's going to tell you that this is better football than the NFL. But it has rules set in place that make the game more interesting. I love the fact that the kicker misses a 30-yard field goal. He's got a mic in his face immediately after. I think that's... Like, it's just, I think it holds a lot of entertainment value. It's not as serious in the NFL, but honestly, after 1 week, I think they might, I don't know. I see it definitely lasting the season.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it has to last the season.
Well, last year, I blank on the league name every time. The AUF, I think they were called. AAF?
I don't know.
Last year, I don't know, I remember Trent Richardson was playing in this league. They had a couple of, Johnny Manziel was in the league too. It folded halfway through the season. Just didn't last. But the XFL, I see some, like I'm telling you, me and Paulo are we're going to be locked into this Vipers-Dragons derby on the weekend.
It can't last. They don't even have professional logos.
No. Okay, that's one thing we did.
Like, just the whole, nothing looks professional. I'm looking at their website right now.
The broadcast was very well done, I thought.
Yeah,
I guess. They got the lines on the field for 3-point, 2-point, 1-point. I think the kickoff's interesting.
That's cool. I like the kickoff.
They have legitimate... commentators, analysts, everything. I don't know. I would give that debut 9.3 out of 10 on the XFL debut. Okay. On my debut meter.
I think you've lost it a bit.
No, I've got to say, I did not think that it was going to be that good.
Nobody will watch this by week 5.
I guess another thing you have to think about is that they're really capitalizing right now on... The NFL just ended. People are football hungry. So, I don't know. Is it going to fizzle down? Of course. Nobody's going to be tweeting about a week 5 game between the Vipers and the Dragons. But the same goes for the NFL, really. It does sort of dip as the year goes on. Week 1 is all this hype and...
Yeah, there are peaks and valleys in the NFL season, but it's not going to be as drastic as...
Yeah, of course.
Like this, it'll really bottom out, I really think. Like, it can't compete. And there's no other league in any sport that there's like a second professional league that's in North America
unless
that
it's
works.
Unless it's a farm team feeder league like the NHL, the AHL, NBA, and the G League, which...
The G League's not even popular, but...
But that's because of the culture of the NBA players play right at college. Whereas a league like the NHL, there's development. But the same goes for the NFL. There's no development. You come out of college, you're already 23, 24 years old. You're ready to compete in that league.
Yeah.
So there is no need for a feeder league, but you're right. There is no, like, why have two leagues? But that's why I think they're doing well, because they have these different rules that make it a bit of a different game almost.
Yeah, the new rules are good, but I think you have to go further. You almost have to make it like half football. Like it has to be a different sport basically for it to work.
For it to really pop off. But I think it understands that it's never going to be bigger than the NFL. But the thing with the NFL is the NFL is a sport that has a day of the week dedicated to it. Like football is Sundays are for football to a lot of people in the United States. But the thing with the NFL that makes it so popular, it's only a 17-week season. By the time the playoffs are done, you know, league starts in September, ends in February. That's a lot of time without that sport being played. But it manages to stay in conversation. There's always storylines around it. Free agency in football is massive in March and the draft season. There's no other league with a bigger draft season and
not even close
around the draft. People hype up the draft like these players are going to come in and alter your franchise when a lot of the times first round picks tend to be, you know, just decent players who, you know, they contribute, but you're not drafting Joe Montana every single year.
Not every 10 years you're drafting Joe Montana.
But the NFL manages to, they've done it somehow that they've created this full year fan experience. So yes, the XFL is filling in a need right now, but I don't know.
The only time the NFL is really not talked about are like the dog days of summer.
There's about a May to June range. And then in July, bam, training camp's up and running. August is preseason. There's already that.
July's still pretty quiet, if we're being honest. Quiet. Yeah.
But at least some sort of, there's this like prediction era in that summer where people are just, all the talk is about making picks about the upcoming year. People can talk about that for 2 months.
Also fantasy. It's just like
fantasy preparation for the draft. And then by the time September rolls around, bam, you're right into the season and it's kind of full throttle.
It's true. It's the shortest league, but it stays relevant almost throughout the whole year.
Which is unbelievable because if you look at other leagues, I know the NHL isn't as popular, but the NHL runs September to June. As soon as the Cups won, you don't hear boo out of these players. Maybe it's the personality of the players. A lot of NFL guys are, we talked about OBJ, you know, he's him in the spotlight. Other athletes kind of tend to keep it.
Even baseball, like baseball pitchers and catchers reported to training camp or to spring training like yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever. And it's like baseball, I mean, it's not really talked about a lot as much anymore, but like people won't really start caring about it until like literally opening day.
Yeah.
Because people think spring training doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of young players playing and whatever. But yeah.
Football? And there's so many prospects
In baseball.
In the MLB.
Yeah.
And they take a lot of time to develop too. So that all takes into factor. But yeah, football has found its way into just creating this full year-round following, which is something that a lot of the other leagues struggle to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why, yeah, there is a need for the XFL right now. But you do make a great point when you say, by week five, who's really going to be tuning into this religiously? And it is a question that I think they're going to face at some point.
Yep, for sure.
Before we wrap up XFL, Paulo, prediction for this weekend, score prediction, Vipers, Dragons.
I'm going to say your Dragons score a total of 3 points.
Ooh.
We pull a reverse card on you.
Because you guys didn't get a touchdown last week.
We had three last week.
Bringing out the Uno reverse.
And we score
30-3. Run us out of our own barn. 30,000 people, and you think we're going to just show up and not score any touchdowns?
Yeah, bro. People are doubting us, man. This is when we all turn it around.
He loves it. This team, I got to say, the passion from my Dragons that I saw last week, I know they lost, but the fight in this team, the fire. I think they're going to come out to CenturyLink Field, just fire and smoke coming out of them. They're going to be so pumped, electrified.
My Vipers are prepared. No. You don't understand.
I think Russell Wilson's going to be banging the drum at midfield, and that's all it's going to take. I'm going to say it's a close game because I have respect for your team, unlike you have no respect for mine, apparently.
Nope.
So I'm going to say, there's so many. This is another thing I love about it. There's so many different score combinations. Because you can get, 9 points on a touchdown?
Yeah, 6 and
what
3.
What a league. What a league. All right, 54 to 51. Okay, that's my score prediction. And we'll discuss next week.
Yes, we'll see.
We did talk a little bit about how NFL offseason is so big, and free agency is right around the corner. So I thought it would be good to do a couple bold predictions for the upcoming free agency. I've done quite a lot of kind of navigating through this free agency class just because my fins have about $100 million to spend. So I'm licking my chops. But I think this is a really good free agency class. Like, there are a lot of good players kind of across the board, every single position. And the Redskins cut Josh Norman this morning. That's another, I don't know, he's not the guy he was 3 years ago, but he's still a pretty reliable starting corner who's now on the market.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best free agent classes that I can, like, remember off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, and there's so many good players.
I think what we're going to see with quarterback movement this year is going to be really interesting. And I think there's a lot of guys like, for example, your Teddy Bridgewater, even your Marcus Mariota, who aren't necessarily for sure starters right now, but they're going to go into a team that's going to make for a super interesting quarterback controversy and conversation. So I thought we could shell off some, they don't have to be super bold, but at least some predictions of where guys are going to go. We talked about Brady last week, and that was a pretty interesting conversation, and we both kind of settled that we don't know if he's going to stay in New England, but
he should.
He really should stay in New England. So I think I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, I don't really have a specific team for this guy, but for some reason I could see him leaving, and that's Amari Cooper.
Really?
Yeah. I know everybody think, like, most people think he's going back to Dallas,
I feel like that's
right?
Kind of the shoe-in, like, oh, he's staying. Him and Prescott, like, no one believes they're leaving.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it could be a case of he sees what Dak gets, and obviously he's not going to make as much as Dak or whatever, but I don't know. I think there could be some jealousy there and whatever. I don't know. I could see him staying, but I don't think it's a done deal like most people think. I don't know if I'm way... Yeah, out of left field here, but
I think that's interesting because the Cowboys are a team that it's really interesting. You look at their big three, Dak, Zeke, and Amari, and everyone says, oh, Zeke's the best player there. He's the most important. The offense needs to run through Zeke in order for them to be good. But I think if you remove Amari Cooper, they become so one-dimensional just because they don't have all the more firepower on offense. I mean, guys like Michael Gallup are great secondary receivers, but he's not a star.
Oh. So they don't have a tight end either.
Yeah. Amari Cooper is the guy that generates a lot of focus on him, and he's good enough to still produce with that attention. But I think he makes Zeke so much better. I think he makes Dak so much better. So if they throw a lot of money at Dak and they don't have enough, like the wide receiver market is... I think the Colts gave Devin Funches around $14, $13 million last year. Okay, first of all, sorry, Paulo. I know you're listening over here, but that's a terrible contract. But that's leverage for me if I'm Amari Cooper, and I can ask for a lot of money from the Cowboys. And, hey, it is a business, like you say. So if they're not going to give it to him, I could kind of see him going somewhere else. Just if it's a money thing. It depends what his priorities are. If he's a guy who really wants to win... Or
I think it's going to depend on Dak's contract. Unless they sign Amari Cooper first, but I don't think they would do that.
And a lot of the quarterbacks, I feel, are going to want to wait for each other to sign. Like Mahomes deserves the most, and everyone knows that. So I think if Mahomes
that'll get done fairly quickly.
Yeah,
like it's just
give him the blank check. How much you want, and it's up to him how team friendly he wants to be. But, another one that's speaking of, you know, Mahomes and the Chiefs, Chris Jones, who's probably one of the best free agents. Part of me wants to say that I think the Chiefs are going to 100% prioritize keeping him because of how important he is to that team. But at the same time, if Mahomes' deal can really, you know, sink them and they have other guys to pay on that roster... He's another guy that I would look out for. I could see him leaving. And a team like the Seahawks, they have a lot of, you know, they have a very young roster. They have some money to spend. And Clowney is a free agent. So if he's on the move, because they don't want to pay him. Guess what? They can go ahead and pay Chris Jones. So Chris Jones is one of the guys I'd also really look out for.
Yeah, is he the best defensive player in the free agency class?
I think he's definitely up there.
I think probably, right?
I mean, Shaq Barrett, who I don't think he led the league. He might have, on the last day, surpassed Chandler Jones.
I know at the beginning he definitely was. He was on a tear.
He was on a tear at the beginning. He cooled down a bit. I mean, Shaq Barrett's there. Clowney's there. Just in terms of defensive linemen, those are some of the top guys. Yannick and, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Yannick and Ngakoue, I don't know, from the Jaguars. That's how I pronounce his name. He's also available. So there's about four or five. I put them in the elite category, and after that, it is a bit of a drop-off. But yeah.
Another player to look out for, and if you asked me last week or even 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't be like, he's obviously staying. But this Breeze situation is really interesting.
Really?
Well, this Taysom Hill, like...
I don't think that they really believe that the Saints' best chance of winning, regardless of age, because he's 30 years old. I know he recently came
to the league. No, I know, yeah.
But he's not, like, he had time in the CFL. Shout out the CFL. But he's not this young protege who's just been, they've been grooming under Breeze. He's a veteran player.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. It seems really weird. Like, now Taysom Hill, you saw his quote of, like, I'm a starting quarterback,
yeah,
whatever.
He wants
it's like,
to.
Well, are you? Because you haven't shown anywhere that you're...
He's a guy, he just plays in trick play situations. Yeah. He's him as a wide receiver. I think the general consensus is that Teddy Bridgewater is leaving New Orleans.
Right.
Which is kind of disappointing to me because I kind of saw him as the answer after
that
Breeze.
That might be their best bet if I was a Saints. I think Breeze is now at the age, he's 40, but like it happened the past 2 years where you see him fizzle out towards the end of the year. He'll start completely fine and look like, oh, this is top three quarterback in the league. And then week 16... 15, whatever, you really start to see him kind of fall off.
Breeze is a funny one because it's the whole respect thing. Like, he brought a Super Bowl to New Orleans. You don't want to kind of say, hey, hit the road. So they're kind of in a position to say, hey, if you want to play, you know what, we have a spot here, a quarterback for you. At the same time, I think personally, New Orleans has to see Teddy Bridgewater as the replacement to him. But now you're in a situation where Teddy Bridgewater is ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. If he never hurt himself in Minnesota, he'd still be a starting quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. So you can't just keep him as your backup forever and ever until Drew says, hey, you know what, I don't want to play. So they have a very big decision on their hands with three quarterbacks. I'm feeling right now that Drew is staying there.
Honestly, that's probably the most likely scenario.
It's the most likely.
I don't know, but again, I think there's going to be some team that takes a chance on Taysom Hill, and I think they're really going to regret it.
Mm-hmm. It's the whole Brock Osweiler. I just think small sample size, looks good for a bit.
Even Brock looked good.
Brock was 6'5". Like, he had all the intangibles.
Also, he was playing quarterback. Taysom Hill he didn't play quarterback.
Exactly.
If you count throwing two passes a game, but that's not...
Like, I don't consider him a quarterback. I consider him a football player. This guy can do it all. He blocks punts.
Yeah.
Come on.
Justin Simmons is another guy.
Yeah. Good safety
from Denver.
Two names, actually, that I'm interested in seeing what happens with them. The New England Patriots, there's been a lot of reports surfacing that Tom Brady, if he's staying, he wants his arsenal of weapons to really be upgraded. Actually, I said two names, but I'm going to throw three out there now. Two tight ends, Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry. Two of the guys I think should really be on the Patriots list. And those guys could be, I think, grabbed at a pretty decent price just because Hunter Henry's really struggled with injuries. And Austin Hooper was on a tear at the beginning of last year, but he dipped a little bit too because of injuries. And another one is AJ Green.
Yeah,
I think the Bengals can still franchise tag him, but I don't think that's any secret that this guy does not want to play in Cincinnati. This is a guy that I drafted in fantasy last year thinking he would miss 4 weeks, and he ended up not playing a single game.
He didn't play, right? Yeah.
No, he didn't play a single game. I still think AJ Green at the top of his game is a top wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned those names on the Patriots. And if they go that route, then you're going to look at players like Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
Because the money has to come from somewhere. You can't sign, you can't re-sign all your guys and then sign more guys. It doesn't, there's just not enough money.
Exactly. So, especially if Brady wants, I think New England's in for a rude awakening if they pay Brady, because this is a organization that has functioned with a quarterback taking a significant pay cut for a long time. Think about how much your defense improves when you can afford to give each position an extra $1 million. Your quarterback's taking $10 million less than his market value. There you go. That's a full defensive guy's getting an extra $1 million. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, and sorry, just go back to what I said. Kyle Van Noy, they also need to, he's also a free agent.
Oh, so they got more than, the Patriots have a lot of thinking to do this offseason.
And then Melvin Gordon, just under the radar too.
My Dolphins, I'm hearing some Melvin Gordon talk, and I don't know. I'm not a big guy.
What about Kenyon Drake? Re-sign
Kenyon Drake and just bring him back to Miami, where he did absolutely nothing for 3 seasons, and then he goes to Arizona and is
lights it up.
It looks like David Johnson, who they're releasing.
Yeah, there's so many players.
There are a lot of good players.
The league's going to look a lot different.
But this Melvin Gordon situation, it was one of the first podcasts that we did, and I think you were just, I think, ripping into him.
Yeah,
I think I gave it to him a bit too, because he and I'm going to bring Le'Veon Bell into this conversation. They came out as such clear-cut losers in how they handled their, like, they did not win at all.
No.
And I think because of what they did, there's now this idea around the league that maybe it's not worth it to throw money at running backs. And I'm completely on that wagon. I don't think you should be paying your guys $15, $16 million a year when they're injury-prone. And by the time they get that contract, they're already, not going to say past their prime, but approaching it.
That's the problem I have with the contracts. If the contract was like 2-3 years, and it was, like you said, $15 million or whatever, I don't see a problem with that. It's, they want like the 6 years or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you want a longer contract, especially with running backs, that's when the back half of the contract is brutal for the team.
Zeke held out with 2 years left on his rookie deal. I look at Saquon Barkley now. He got injured this year already. He's in his prime right now. By the time his contract's up, I think when you get drafted in the first round, you have a 4-year guarantee with a 5th-year team option. That's 5 years. By the time that's up, it's not worth it to throw big money at you. I'm sorry.
No matter how good you are, they have to for the fans.
Yeah, because every single jersey at MetLife on Sundays when the Giants are playing is a 26 Saquon Barkley jersey. I don't know. It's just, I'm not buying the running back money.
Yeah, it's starting to really like handcuff teams.
Yeah.
Because if you're the Giants, when Saquon's contract's up, assuming he stays healthy and continues on the path that he should, they're going to have to sign him to that contract that's going to kill them at the end of it.
And there's players like Alvin Kamara who come into the 4th round and they're great. And that's one of the more elite running backs in the NFL. But there are teams who, look at the San Francisco 49ers. It's a prime example. They're never going to have to throw big money at a running back because they use 3 or 4 each week. They draft these guys in the later rounds. They pick them up off waivers. All these guys are talented. Having a star player at running back, it's sad to say because I'm a big fantasy football player and a big fantasy football fan, so I love running backs, but I just don't think they equate to wins.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think they correlate to wins at all. Not at all, but like, honestly, I think the best strategy with running backs is you draft them and you use them for a couple of years and
trade them.
Because you might not, let's say you get a star in the 4th round like Kamara.
Yeah, that, okay.
That's different.
It is.
But like, there are so many decent running backs in the NFL that like, you would have no problem going to a Super Bowl with them as your main running back.
Look at the 2 teams in the Super Bowl this year. Damian Williams, cut from I don't know how many teams. He was with the Dolphins in free agency. They didn't even offer him a contract, and he went to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They have a great offense around him. He succeeds because he has a great O-line. He's one of the best quarterbacks, or he has the best quarterback in the NFL. All these weapons. Guess what? No attention on the running back. he succeeds. Same thing with the 49ers. You're 100% correct. Where I just think that having a good or an average running back, he can be great, he can be good, but I think that's how you build a winning formula on a football team.
Like Kenyon Drake's talent is more than enough.
Yeah,
for definitely. Your like, yeah.
This kind of I think segues into our next topic, because we're talking about how running backs can kind of, you know, plunge a team into the deep, deep darkness of the NFL. And what made me really want to discuss this today is because your Lions have been in the news a lot recently with how they're handling this. Not how they're handling, but what's to happen to Matthew Stafford. Lions are sitting at the third pick in the NFL draft, I believe.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford was injured last year. They were doing pretty well when he was healthy, but you guys finished 4-12.
No, 3.
3-13. Something. I don't know. Brutal.
We had a tie in there. It was brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You tied Arizona week one. But this has just really got me thinking. I think the Detroit Lions are one of the worst franchises in the entire NFL. And I'm sorry to say that. I know I can't speak from too highly because I cheer for the Miami Dolphins. But I just think that you draft a guy first overall, all the talent in the world with Matt Stafford, and they continued year after year after year to provide him with any sort of support or talent for him to, he's had, I guess, moderate success, but to really be a threat in the playoffs. And I just think that they continue to not supply him with anything, but just do enough to sell tickets and to win a couple games every year. And because of that, Stafford's going to have this complete tarnish on his legacy.
Yeah, I would go. You said they're the worst, or they're the worst franchise in the NFL.
They're one of the worst. I'm not going to put them in Browns bad, but
no, I think them and the Browns. I don't think you can say the Browns are a better franchise. I think you'd say they're equally as bad. I think those are the two worst franchises in all of sports.
All of sports,
or all the four like North American sports. Yeah. I think it's hands down.
Wow.
There's no other... They're always bad.
I mean, I do like that argument because they are always bad. And teams in the MLB who don't have a lot of fans, don't sell a lot of tickets, they stack up in certain years. Like the Marlins. The Marlins are completely fine with being horrible for whatever, a couple of years. But they're eventually, I feel, going to try and form some sort of surge.
Yeah, they have a plan.
Yeah.
It's be horrible for 5 years.
And just load even longer, up on prospects.
Which is what the Astros did. And, well, that's partly why they won the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to get into that.
No, but at least have a plan. I would rather, like, the Lions were terrible this year and they finished third in the draft, but that's not what they were trying to do.
I thought the Lions were going to be wild card contenders to start the season.
Well, that's what
And it is, it's hard to really punish them because Stafford did get hurt, but
last year he was fully healthy. They had 6 wins.
Mm-hmm. And how much are they improving their roster on a yearly basis?
Yeah, like last year they signed Trey Flowers, and that was like their big splash. But it's like you signed him to a contract that was way too much.
Yeah, it's probably gonna hurt you. You're probably gonna end up cutting him in 3 years and put your franchise into even more salary cap trouble.
Yeah, so, I mean, ideally, I'd like the Lions to draft Tua.
Really?
Well, yeah. Okay, so you can't trade Stafford this year. There's too much dead money that you'd have to take. Mm-hmm. It's like the Lions would have to pay like $30 million this year. There's no point. So I'd just draft Tua and then let him just learn under Stafford for a year, then trade Stafford for a couple of picks, and then build from there.
The thing with Stafford is you're never going to ever get the value in a trade for one of the best, like a top at Stafford's peak game. I think he's a fringe top 10 quarterback. He's in a conversation with a lot of guys who are in that, you know, 7 to 10 range.
If they traded him, first of all, you have to just trade him to the AFC.
Yeah.
Like that's, you have to trade him to the AFC. And I would, if he won a Super Bowl, I literally would not be shocked.
That's like what I was this year with Tannehill. I was big cheering for the Titans. But the thing with the Lions drafting Tua, personally, with Tua's injury, of course I want the Dolphins to draft him, but if they're drafting him, I hope he doesn't see the field in his first season. Let him sit.
Yeah.
Let him learn. Let him become fully healthy, fully comfortable in the NFL, and then throw him in. So, honestly, I would not be that surprised if the Lions are thinking that way, because what's the direction if you keep Stafford? Are you going to win a Super Bowl with him as a quarterback? Because I don't think they have enough time to supply him with enough help and build a winning culture around him in order to win a Super Bowl when he's already, what, 32 years old?
I think he's... What's 31? His actual age? I'll try. I think it's 31, yeah.
Yeah, he's past the 30 mark. So a lot of thinking to do.
Yeah, he's 32. So if you look at it, if they keep him, realistically, you now have a max of a 3-year window, let's say.
Exactly.
Because not everybody's Breeze, and Brady plays till 40, mm-hmm. whatever, right? So you have a 3-year window. So what? Now you're in a win-now mode. You're in a win-now mode with a roster that right now is not in a win-now mode.
Exactly.
Which means you're going to have to make big splashes in free agency. You're going to have to overpay for free agents. And I just don't think that's a good plan in a 3-year window. I don't think Stafford's a good enough quarterback to have a 3-year window and feel good about going into a win-now mode with the roster they have.
And let's say the Detroit Lions are to pass on Matthew Stafford because, you know, they believe in this roster for their 3-year window.
Sorry, pass on Tua, you mean?
Pass on Tua, yeah, excuse me. They're eventually going to have to draft a quarterback. But I think Matthew Stafford is way too good to ever have the Lions in a position where they're drafting third overall ever again. So you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. You're not going to get the next Peyton Manning, who's the year after him, and the next Patrick Mahomes, who's the year after that. So really, you're in your best position right now to get a guy who a lot of people think, if he never got hurt, would maybe be the number one pick in this draft.
If he never got hurt, I think he's 100% number one pick.
You think so?
Well, here's the thing. Burrow
got a lot of media hype.
But Burrow's only been good for 1 year.
I know. And he's older than Lamar Jackson. So there's another thing right there. Tua had a nice, consistent college career ever since he came in, what was that, double overtime or something, and threw that prayer of a touchdown to win them the national championship, which was probably one of the best national championships in recent memory, anyways, for me. But regardless, now, you know what? I was pretty confident that the Dolphins were picking Tua at 5. But after this episode, I'm starting to really worry.
Yeah, another option they have, though, I mean, they could trade back.
Yeah.
And you could even trade back and look at Herbert.
Mm-hmm. If they like him, and you know what? They can get a lot of picks by trading back.
Like that, I would be completely fine with. Mm-hmm. Because if that's their guy, if they see Tua, they don't like the risk, they whatever, if that's their guy, then I'm completely fine with that. Because they obviously see something in him.
Yeah.
Even though I really shouldn't trust them because whatever, they don't have a great history. But if that's their guy, that's their guy. And then I have to live with that. But at least you have a plan of he's going to be the next quarterback.
To be honest, you mentioned the Lions' drafting history. Just the recent two picks. Last year, you guys picked Hawkinson. Yep. The year before was Frank Ragnow, the center, right?
Yes.
Ragnow has turned out to be a pretty good pro.
Great pick, yeah.
And Hawkinson looks pretty promising. I know tight ends usually take a little bit longer.
Honestly, going into the season, all I wanted to see were flashes. Because no tight end just breaks onto the scene. No, never. Great. And I saw there was little hints of...
I think his first week, he had like 150.
Oh, yeah, his first week is like he's going to be...
He's not going to get
the... Yeah, he's going to be the best tight end in the league. But no, I think he has a potential to be... Well, listen, when you get picked as high as he did, the expectation is that he's a top 4 or 5 tight end in the league.
Yeah, you're hoping to draft Travis Kelce, George Kittle.
Yeah, Zach Ertz. That type... Anything less than that, and the Lions fans and organization, he'll be a disappointment.
Well, we saw what happened with Ebron. They shipped him out of there because he never quite broke out to be that. You know, he was great with the Colts last season.
For that 1 year.
Yeah, and then this year.
He kind of came back to who he is.
But yeah, a lot of options for the Detroit Lions come free agency and come draft season. And a lot of options, as we discussed, for pretty much every team with how good this free agency draft class is.
Yeah, I think there's all the Super Bowl predictions, everything will all be different after free agency's over.
which tends to happen every single year.
There's always that one team that makes two or three splashes, and people, that's like the...
Puts them over the top.
Yeah, that's everybody's like Super Bowl pick that never really pans out, but yeah.
Well, speaking of Super Bowl pick, this is episode 11, so through the 10 previous episodes, we've developed a tradition where every single week we would pick the Super Bowl team. Who we think's going to win the Super Bowl at whatever point. And a lot of the times it was just more for humor or whatever. But last week we did Super Bowl 55 pick because the season is over. And we did have quite a bit of fun with that, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, you picking the Bucks. But this week, now that the NFL is over and we already picked last week's, you know, big, yeah, way too early
prediction.
Nothing
has changed from last week to this week.
Jameis is still hoisting the Lombardi next year. So I think it's perfect to do now for this week the XFL championship. I don't even know what the bowl or whatever is called. Maybe our XFL analyst / producer, Paul Gismondi, can enlighten me on that.
I don't even know what the divisions are. Like,
okay, you should be knowing this. I haven't pulled up. It's East and West.
East and West. Oh, I feel like a league as extreme as the XFL would have a little bit more creativity on that.
And the East... There's four teams in each division.
Yeah, four teams. Yeah. I'm pretty sure one division's all 1-0.
Except for the Vipers. For
the the Vipers.
And then, so...
The other division's lacking.
Yeah, your Seattle Dragons are actually in second place.
Even though they lost.
With zero wins. And so, your Vipers are in last place.
Yes, sir.
All right, so, Paulo, because you're a huge XFL fan, we're even going to include you in this prediction. And all three of us are going to give our final... XFL Super Bowl prediction. I'm going to call it the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
After watching the New York Guardians just absolutely dominate my team.
Yeah.
I like their QB and think they have some like good like talent on that team. So I'm going to say they're going to be in the final against the Dallas Renegades. Ooh. Dallas is going to the championship, baby.
I think the Renegades are pretty good because last week they were favored by 9.5.
Yeah, upset.
Okay.
So they'll pull it together.
They lost.
Yep, they lost.
All right, I guess I'll go. I know nothing about any of these teams.
What's the team you claimed last week?
The St. Louis Battlehawks. Okay, all right. I don't think they're going to win, though.
Oh,
they're good.
A realist. I really respect that. A realist.
All right, so from the East, we're going to have the DC Defenders.
Very
nice.
Who
beat the Seattle Dragons.
Ooh.
Yeah, they turned it on last week.
And then...
Wait.
Oh, wow.
1 second. I love the XFL, man.
He loves it.
Your Dragons had a good lead to start off, but then they just fell apart. Defensive errors, everything. It was just not good.
See how he talks?
It's a strong team, DC.
See how he talks to me like he thinks I didn't watch the game?
Yep.
He thinks I don't watch my Vipers?
Not your Vipers. Your Dragons.
Oh, my Dragons.
Oh.
He doesn't even know what team
I'm
he cheers
about. I'm losing all XFL credibility as we speak.
All right, and from the West, I'm going to go with the Houston Roughnecks because they're in first place by a game.
Wow. You're that guy who, if you picked the NFL last year after week one, you would have picked the Super Bowl. Let's see. You would have picked the two. Well, the Ravens actually did end up having a great season, but you're a Mr. Overreact. After week one, you think that two teams that are 1-0 are just...
And the final score, I'll give you a final score. It's going to be 9-0 DC Defenders.
And that's not three field goals. That's one touchdown.
That's one touchdown and a 3-point.
I just can't wait to bet on the halftime show in the XFL.
Who will perform the halftime show?
All right. Last pick for our XFL championship. Of course, I'm going with my Seattle Dragons coming out of the West. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they sign Russell Wilson some halfway through the season just because he's itching to get back into football action. So I'm really liking what I'm seeing from them so far. Love the spirit and the fight in this team. I just think they... They need to work on their endurance so they can last the full four quarters, and that'll get it together. And from the East, I'm going to go with the Battle Hawks just because...
Oh, my Battle Hawks.
Just because Paulo picked the Guardians and you picked the Defenders, and the Vipers, they just look really poor. So I gotta be different, and I got to pick the Battle Hawks. And that's gonna wrap up... Oh, I got to pick the champion. Of course, my Dragons.
What's the score?
63-54.
That's pretty good.
7-9 score touchdowns for the Dragons and 6-9 score touchdowns from the Battlehawks.
That was some impressive mental math.
You think I'm just here for the football talk? Come on. Alrighty. I think that is going to wrap up today's episode. If you made it to the end, thank you very much for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you're listening to this thing. And we will see you next week.
Take it easy.